Blog Talk Radio.
Well, look about, look about, look about, look about. Ooh, wee. Look about, look about, look about. Ooh, wee. Oh, ah, oh, ah, ooh, wee. Well, she's so fine, fine, fine. She's so fine.
Jackie Wilson there, and Reet Petit. I didn't realise until they actually reissued that back in the 90s that Jackie Wilson was actually made entirely out of plasticine. There you go. So it's another Thursday night with the new Panic Room. We're on episode 13, so something's going to go wrong. Like I probably haven't switched the microphone on or something. Hopefully not. We've got some fantastic guests for you listeners this evening. First of all, I think without further ado, we need to bring in my, she's probably thumped me for calling her a sidekick, but I'm going to say it anyway, my trusty sidekick, Xtina. How are you this evening and how's the new tattoo?
See, I knew you were gonna mention that, and I haven't told everybody.
Of course,
yet,
I was gonna mention that. How am I not gonna mention
I know,
that?
Right?
Seriously, come on.
No, it's good. Well, you have some tattoos, so you know that the first couple of days it's kind of you being everything. So I mean, it looked great when I left, and now it's kind of, you know, my face. I got it on my face. Everybody listening, I got it on my face. So.
Well,
it's
not your first tattoo, is it?
Oh, no, not by far. It's not. So
come on, spill. No, what other tattoos do you have?
I have this is number 20. So, you know, I don't think we have time to discuss all the, I know there, but a lot of them are really tiny. So.
Yeah. Well, I have, hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think I got 5 now. And
yeah.
They're all sort of big ones.
I'm trying to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into all the little tiny ones. You know, each one, you know, has a meaning and is specially chosen. And here's one of these interesting facts. So when I am massively famous, you can say I knew that. I actually have a tattoo on my todger. Would you believe?
Really?
Yes, really. I had my finger me tattooed with my wife's name.
I'm
not going to put a picture of it. It's a heart with the American flag, because my wife's American, and a little scroll through it with her name on it. So there you go.
Wow.
Absolutely straight up, honest to God truth. Yes. Yeah.
Did
there
that
you
hurt?
Go.
Did that,
it hurt deliciously. Yes. It did hurt.
Wow.
It was.
Yeah.
It did, but I did that. That was cool. That was cool.
Wow. I have to say, out of all mine, I have the stars on the other side, you know, going down like the side of my face. And out of all my tattoos, the ones on my face, they hurt the least. They really do. Now, afterwards, for some odd reason, I'm struck with a headache every time. Well, no, this is only the second time. But, yeah, so I did have a headache earlier, and I kind of teeny tiny one still now. But I'm sipping some Angry Orchard, so I'm good to go. They hurt the very least, that one. So,
which one hurt the most?
I have one on my hand. I have one on my hand that your hands are bony. Your hands are your hands are really bony. So
yeah,
those hurt. Yeah, but
well,
I'm told that the
most painful is, I think, the ankle. Apparently, is very, because again, there's no flesh there. It's just skin and then straight on the bone. So
yeah.
I think the most painful I had was. I've got one on my chest, which is the it's quite big. It's probably about 4 or 5 inches across, which is the Yorkshire Rose back from just before I left England, because obviously I'm from Yorkshire. Because it was on my chest, over just right over my ribs and my clavicle.
Ow.
That did hurt. It actually hurt more than the one on my. On my whatnot.
I've heard that on a man, the chest is the most painful, because it's not as, you know, fleshy or whatever. Women, you know, your chest area is a little more fatty, so that's
of course
as much. So yeah.
Well, of course, for me, I mean, you know, I have pecs, but unfortunately they're buried under a layer of fat, so but it's big padding, isn't it? It's padding.
Padding.
So I think even my daughter said, "Daddy, you're a fat bastard." Thanks.
Oh, no.
Thanks, daughter. It's actually a term of endearment where I'm from. I actually have a grey hoodie with fat bastard, with fat spelt P-H-A-T, with fat bastard. Daddy's a fat bastard. He's got the shirt to prove it, you know. So hey, we have guests. We have some awesome guests. We have Ashley, surname unpronounceable. Hopefully she'll help me out with that in a moment or two. We have Jonathan Halls coming on just after 10. So I think what we will do, because I know Ashley's calling from some far-flung field, metaphorically. But my son's phone's broken, and he keeps dialing me for some odd reason. Let's bring Ashley in. Ashley, are you with us?
I am here. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. How are you, Mia? So, come on, Ashley, put me out of my misery. Again, a million apologies. Christina keeps inviting guests on deliberately. She's picking names out. It's not that you're any good. She's picking names out that I cannot pronounce. So, help us out. How do you pronounce your surname, Ashley?
You say my surname Janakaro, which is totally not how it looks, but yeah.
It's not what I said at all. So I'm glad you did that. Awesome. Well, thank you. So you're here this evening to chat about your dark romance, Cirque, which I did pronounce correctly.
Yes.
The tagline: "No one loves the clown," which is I'm a bit of a clown person. I like, you know, there's been a lot of people don't like clowns, but you know, I like them. I like the fact the whole sadness of the clown sort of thing, you know, it sort of appeals to me. So come on, tell us about it.
Well, it is a bit of a psycho-erotic thriller, and it is got a clown sort of circus undertone to it. I was inspired by the 1920s French plays of Perrault and Columbine. Only in my story, the good guy and the bad guy are in one person.
Oh, cool.
So it is, yeah, something completely different for me as well compared to what I've written before.
So what is yeah. your usual genre?
The last two books I wrote, the Red Market series, were erotic horror and were way outside the box of normal.
You know, I have not finished. I started reading The Goodbye Man, and I have not finished yet. But I got to tell you, a lot of my blogger friends, they really talked about this book, and they were like, you have to read it. It is the darkest thing I have. And I like to read dark erotica, you know, dark books. And I had so many people tell me how good it was and how dark it was. And I had one blogger friend who just loves to read dark, and she was like, I threw up in my mouth a little bit. I was like, oh, I have to read this. I don't think I've gotten to that part yet, but
when Mary pitched the idea for the Goodbye Man to me, I my immediate response was, we will get banned from Amazon on the first day. Are you crazy?
We actually have her coming on the show in October, so we'll definitely be asking her questions about it as well. So
I am currently writing the third series, which is about a clown. And it all started because I did a poll on my author page about what people hate the most, their biggest fears. And clowns was a winner, and I took it as kind of a challenge to make them love the clown.
The clown thing, I guess it's like, you know, some people are scared of spiders, and if you're not, you don't. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why people are frightened of clowns. Obviously, you know, Stephen King's It, which they are remaking, recent Rob Zombie film, you know, sort of plays on that fear, I guess. But what is it, Ashley, what is it about clowns that you think people find so frightening?
I don't know, because I don't mind clowns myself. I find them fascinating. Personally, I don't find them very scary, just interesting, weird that someone would pick that to do. But I don't know, I think it had a lot to do with people's fears.
Yeah, I have had
so much clown hate in the prep and promotion for this book. Every time I posted a teaser with a clown, I would be reported to Facebook for being offensive.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It's like, it's just a clown.
That's scary, yeah. It's an offensive clown.
So I think,
I can't tell you that it's a big fear of mine. I do think they're a little creepy, but, you know, I'm not crazy, you know, scared of them. But I know my daughter, and there's no rational reason for this, but we were a clown came up to her, and she'd never seen one before. She never exhibited any kind of fear to this, and she just freaked out. And it was, I mean, we could not even control her. It was so bad. So, and I don't know where the fear came from. So that was kind of weird. But they creep me out a little bit, but, you know, not. And I have to say, I love the cover of that book, Ashley. It is so cool. It's kind of crazy looking, but it's cool. I like it.
I adore my cover. It's my favorite cover. And I saw that image, and I was like, that is the picture for this book. I will get it no matter what. And it took me about a month and a half to secure the image from the actual circus photographer in Colombia where it was taken.
Wow, awesome.
It was just so right for the book and so perfect for the story.
It is. It's an awesome cover. No, I was saying that I have not had the chance to read to start this one either. But I did like flip through a couple of pages, and the poem. You know, I love poetry. The poem at the beginning is really I love it. It's really I do. I just love it. Do you like poetry? Do you like to write it or read it? Or
I adore reading poetry and writing some poetry. I have poetry in a lot of my books. In my first book, Color My Ugly, I worked with Christopher Poindexter, and I have his poetry at the beginning of almost every chapter of the book. And when I came to write a blurb for the clown book, nothing worked without giving the story away. So we went with the poem instead, and it could have completely backfired, but I think it created more interest because it was vague enough, not to give anything away, but close enough to tell the story.
Right, right. It's the same way, you know, when I read it, I was like, I don't quite understand what's going on, but I really liked that poem. I mean, I really did, and it's definitely something I can't wait to start reading. I just have to clear out a couple books first. Good. I can't wait. I'm a cover hoe. I am. So you got the cover that's awesome, and then the cool poem, because, you know, I write poetry as well. So that really spoke to me. You know, I the whole thing was just awesome.
It was. It was good fun to also, it was like actually playing games with readers, because for a long time that poem was the only piece of the puzzle that was out. I didn't release any teasers or anything. It was just that.
Do you have reading for Ashley?
I do read poetry. I really enjoy reading poetry, modern poetry, old poetry. I find it kind of calms my mind and also is a quiet way of inspiring me when I want to write.
Right. Did you have a reading for us tonight?
I do. I have an excerpt from Zerk. I just want to make it big enough so I can see. So I have a reading from the female character in the story, Imogene, and it's a flashback that she's remembering from her childhood.
Okay.
You go for it.
Okay. Awesome. You have to come with us, dear. It's against the law for a child to be brought up this way. My mum is ripping at the man who holds her back from me, her red nails clawing its big arms as they drag her out of my reach. Black streaks stain her face where tears pour over the perfect paint that makes her so beautiful. The white-haired lady is talking to me, but I don't hear her. She pulled me out of the box where I was hiding away, practicing to bend like mum. I wasn't done. I wasn't ready to get out. Mom was still busy with the clown man, and I have to wait until they're done, or I'll get in trouble. I want to be bendy like her so I can sparkle when the lights shine on me. I have to be useful to stay in the circus. The clown told me if I'm not useful, I'll get taken away. I was trying so hard to be useful. He makes us all be useful. I'm good at doing what the clown asks of me. When I wait in the box like a good girl, then he teaches me useful things. Not like Mom, who teaches me to swing and bend. He teaches me other things, useful things we aren't allowed to tell about. It's a secret circus magic. The circus is a magical place, and we have to keep it safe. Outsiders aren't allowed to know our secrets. I'm special. I scream at the lady who's now pulling me by the arm, hurting me. I'm special. I have the circus magic. Let me go. I dig my heels in and cry and shriek, trying to get her off me so I can go back to the trailer where my mom is waiting. When I eventually get free and run, leaving my shoes behind, bare feet slipping on the wet grass, as I hurtle back to my life, my home, and my mother. She's crying on the clown's chest. She sobs and points to a man standing at the black car outside the gate. I knew you would do this. I knew he'd come and find me. That day, the tent disappeared from my vision, but never from my heart. I have the circus in me. I always will. So that's from my clown's lady character.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Powerful stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, with your accent, you sound so cute. I could listen to you for, like, the rest of the show. I love it.
I sound very freaking...
You know, it reminded me, I read a book when I was probably in middle school, and it was one of the first horror books I ever picked up, and I liked the cover of it. You know, I was a cover hoe even back then, apparently. But it was called House of Illusions, and the front cover of it just kind of like shimmered, and like we looked at it in one direction, it just looked like a house, and then you looked at it in the other, and you see these creepy, like, demonic things in the windows. But it was a book about a carnival, and these two little girls go to stay with their dad for the summer, and he works at a carnival, and there's a fun house that is just kind of, I don't know, haunted. It's creepy. There's horrible things that happen there. But that book scared the crap out of me when I was younger. It really did. And there were clowns that would get up in the middle of the night, and they were just like dolls, but they were committing these horrible, you know, murders and stuff. It was a good book. But again, you know, I was in middle school, so, you know, who knows how good it really is now. But I always will remember that book because it kind of creeped me out. And listening to the atmosphere of your book kind of reminded me of it. It was
I tried to write it in such a way that it had a feel of actually being in the almost vintage circus carnival feel to the whole story.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. There is this TV show, I think I've asked James if he's seen it. It's called Carnivale, VALE. It's like, I'm trying to think of what time it's set in. It's a TV show on, like, I think it's on like HBO or something, and it was a couple years back, but it was set in like, I want to say like the 1920s or 30s or something, and it was a carnival atmosphere. It really had a really interesting atmospheric creepiness to it that I wasn't exactly sure where the series was going, but just the whole atmosphere was really creepy and kept me watching for that alone. So it might be something
I try,
worth looking
I
up tr- there.
I live in South Africa. Our TV connection is not like yours. It's very different here for us.
Yeah.
No Netflix.
So who do you like to read? What authors do you like to read?
So I read so much. I stick generally to darker stuff. I like my dark romance and sort of a real good thriller, or I've been on a bit of a reading break while writing Cirque and on the plane down, because I'm away on holiday, on the plane down yesterday. I've played Russian roulette with my Kindle and landed on Lyme Craven's Sociopath, which I've actually read before, but I'm rereading it, and it's really good. So
I like that
anything
idea
a little bit.
Russian roulette with it.
I do.
There's so many things on my Kindle. Well, it's weird. Sometimes you just have no idea. There's so many good things you want to read that it's hard to choose. You know, it really is. You just kind of got to close your eyes and, you know, that's a good way to do it. So
it does.
It looks like our time is.
I mostly read dark.
It looks like the time is almost up here. So let us know where we can find you. Where you know. Where can we find your books and on social media?
My books are all available on Amazon, iBooks, Nook, and Kobo under my name, Ashley Giannocco. And I have a Facebook author page, A Giannocco Author. And on my author page, you can find the links to my reader group, which is where I'm the most active, where I share more things with my readers and fans there than anywhere. I'm not really good at Twitter, but I am on Instagram as Mrs. Giannocco, and that's about it.
So you're everywhere, which is awesome.
Yeah. I do think we posted
really
on our Facebook page, too.
Hello?
I think I think Xtina sort of vanished there for a moment. I think he was having some technical issues there. So quick last question. Actually, whereabouts are you calling us from this evening? You're obviously not in the States right now. Where are you?
Well, it's 4:30 something in the morning here. I am in Cape Town, South Africa today. I normally live in Johannesburg, but I am on vacation in Cape Town. So I am next to the ocean in one of the prettiest cities in the world, all the way from South Africa.
Well, thank you for joining us at 4:30 in the morning on your vacation. That's fantastic. Really appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. It was awesome to be with you guys and to join you. And thank you for inviting me to be here.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. This call must be costing you a fortune. We will let you escape.
Thank you so much
for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Enjoy sleeping, I guess. Okay, Ashley. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, it's an international flavour to the show, all the way from South Africa.
I love your accent. I'm the only one always who doesn't have a really cool accent. I need to start practicing one, I think.
Yeah, well, your accent's just sort of average, so nothing to get excited about, to be honest.
I know, thanks.
But hey, Debbie, if you went over to England, they would probably burn you at the stake because they don't do foreigners awfully well in England. But, you know, they would be like, wow, foreign, you know. Cool. So, hey, we have a musical interlude. I've tried to pick jolly music this week after the dire, depressing bilge that you made me play last week. But first of all, a bit of a shout out to Jaded Books, www.jadedbookspublishing.com. We just had a successful launch of their charity poetry anthology, which raised over $100 for St. Jude's, which is fantastic. And a quick mention for my own website, which is www.jameslongmore.com, which has links to all my awesome books and shorts and my short movies. And there's even a little bit of stand-up on there as well for somebody who wants a bit of a giggle. Xtina, we can find you on Amazon. We can find you on the Jaded Books website, obviously. You have your own page on there and everything. So I think that covers everybody important. Anything else you want to plug before the tune?
No, I'm good.
Well, I'm glad I said something then, because you obviously were ill-prepared.
Right. Hey, I always have that.
So I'm just in that kind of mood tonight. I'm just picking. But when we come back after the tune, we can have a brief one on our current projects, I guess, because I know you're working on something new. I'm working on something new. So it's one of those things, you know, a writer's life. You know, it's like I talk to the wife or talk to people that, you know, I see relatively regularly. And say, what are you working on? Well, the same thing I was working on last month. And it's been going on for 3 months and I'm still editing it, and that's the conversation finished, you know. So I pick one. It's one I always play in the car when I need cheering up a little bit. I guess he's a UK artist. He was billed as the UK's equivalent to Elvis back in the 50s. A guy called Cliff Richard. I assume that he made it over here. If not, you're in for a bit of a treat. So I'm going to play that now, and we'll be back straight after the tune.
lifetime comes a love like this. Oh, I need you, you need me. Oh, my darling, can't you see our dreams? Should we dream together? And a young heart shouldn't be afraid. And some when the years have flown, darling, then we'll teach the young ones of all. Once in every lifetime comes a love like this. Together, and the young heart shouldn't be afraid. And someday, while the years have flown, darling, then we'll teach the young ones of our own.
One of my favourite tunes from Cliff Richard and the Shadows. Interesting fact, the Shadows were originally, it was originally Cliff Richard and the Drifters, but obviously with the US group The Drifters, they had to change their name to The Shadows and became a massive, massive group, big on the guitars, as you can tell. Hank Marvin, probably one of the best guitar players on the planet, lives in Australia now, God bless him. So what did you think to that, actually? Now, had you heard that tune before?
I have not heard it, and okay, I will agree with you that it's a lot more upbeat than the tunes I picked out, but you know, I was in the mood, I guess.
No, I'm just teasing. I mean, you know, you want to pick out miserable tunes, that's entirely up to you. But tonight's my night, so I'm gonna play some. So before we bring Jonathan on, and just looking at the profile for Jonathan, you've done it to me again. I cannot pronounce the title of his book, so hopefully you'll help me out with that. But what are you working on at the moment, my dear?
Well, I just want to say this is how I get even with you for your little jabs. You know, I find people that you can't pronounce and books you can't pronounce. It's my little game now.
Okay, it's on.
Oh, God. Okay, what am I working on? Let's see. Light Musings is, I have a release date, but I don't know if I'm supposed to announce it yet, so I'm not going to.
Yes, announce it. Announce it now.
Come on.
Ooh.
November 11th is the release date for Light Musings. So I'm kind of excited about that, but nervous at the same time because I'm way more used to the dark stuff. So I'm not sure how. I don't want anybody to be like, oh, this is lame. The Dark Poet Princess went, you know, frilly and you know, I don't know, traipsing through the meadows or something. And no, that's not what I've done. So I'm hoping that. Anyway, so that's off with the editor right now. And what else am I working on? I'm still working on Desiree. That's the work in progress right now that I took from a short story that I wrote. And you actually read some of that recently, so.
Yes, I did, and it's off to a cracking start, I have to say. You know, I'm looking forward to reading a more of it and be all of it.
Yeah, it's coming along. It is. It's coming along nicely.
Yeah, and that's going to be a novel, is it, or novella? I mean,
I'm surprised I could write this short story for the anthology because I don't normally write short at all ever. So that was definitely a challenge. So no, it'll be full length. So
awesome.
Yeah. And
awesome.
What are you working on?
Well, I'm sorry. I've just finished it was going to be my last Bizarro story for some time, which was actually specifically for an anthology the publisher asked me to contribute to. And it's sort of my take on Sherlock Holmes a little bit. It's actually a character I've been wanting to bring to life for quite some time. He's the great detective Mumble Trimmings. And the title is Mumble Trimmings and the Peculiar Case of the Reverse Pedophiles. And it's a great little bit of nonsense, great little story. It's got everything you would expect, a bit of gore and it's got some old person sex, which is particularly gruesome. and it's all about strange goings on at an elderly's memory care facility. New Year's Eve, all the elderly people sort of vanish. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not sure it's going to be out when the anthology's out, but watch this space. I'm also working on my sixth novel, I think it's going to be, which is based on a screenplay I wrote a few years ago. It's called The Resurrected, which is got a very seven-stroke... seven, maybe even a little bit Blade Runner type feel to it. It's very, very oppressive, it's got a dystopian feel to it. Set in a time or an alternative parallel, I guess, where there's a drug has been created that brings the dead back to life, but it's actually used by the justice system. So they bring back people, the murder victims, to identify their killer. That's the loose thread through the whole thing. But it sort of follows one cop who works for the Department of Deceased Justice and what happens to him and his family as the great secret is uncovered. I'm not going to spoil that, but it's when it's revealed, it's... it's a bit of a shock. it's a departure for me. You know, it's kind of, yes, it's horrific, but it's not out. It's not creature horror. It's not devils and demons. You know, it's a sort of a dystopian crime horror. A little bit. It's nice to do something different.
Someday we have to have you read us an excerpt from something. I remember when you read Colton for us, and oh my goodness, that was interesting. So,
do you know we will have a show, no guests, and just the two of us, and we'll read, plug ourselves really. But anywho, speaking of which, we have Jonathan Hulls on the line. Who's going to be talking to us about his book that I can't pronounce, and I'm very, very sorry about this, Jonathan. Are you there, sir?
I am. Hello, Radio World.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. Again, I am sorry, Xtina's done this to me again. Could you please pronounce your book title for me?
Oh, it's easy. Ayahuasca.
See, that's easy, James.
Yeah, so it's ayahuasca. So it's the strongest DMT-based hallucinogen in the world, and it's found in the Amazon forest.
Hence the tagline: hallucinogens, donkey hose, and guns. is there obviously what more you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, it's been available since first of this month. Tell us all about it, Jonathan.
Oh, for sure. So ayahuasca is about really two shitheads that just graduated college, and they are going on a graduation trip of a lifetime. They head to South America and make a few stops along the way, get into a bunch of trouble with illegal substances and with the ladies and with guns and various other things. And then when they finally get to Peru, they try to set a world record, and I don't want to give too much away, but they are who they are.
Interesting.
Yes. It sounds, yeah. So it's a road trip movie, a buddy movie, obviously with illicit substances in there as well.
Yeah, for sure. So the horror comes along once they get to Peru and they go into the jungles and they really have that use of the guns.
Also, I was going to say, where does the horror? I mean, is it what is the horror element, or is that giving too much away?
Sort of. When we get to the reading part, you're gonna get some of it. But really they're trying to set the world record for kills. And so, it gets pretty bloody in there pretty quick.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. That's good. Yeah. So is horror your first love, Jonathan? Is it, something you've always been involved with?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting question because typically I'm not a big horror guy. My wife loves horror. She's all about horror movies, and she loves all the classics and stuff like that. Loves blood and, you know, every part of it. And when it's on the TV, actually, I typically don't watch it. It seems very cheesy to me. So I tend to steer away from it. But when I do my writing, I tend to go onto the dark side. I think it's more of my sense of humor. But for the most part, that's where my writing goes. But that's not what I watch or read on a regular basis.
All right. So what do you gravitate towards?
Things like Chuck Palahniuk, more of the satire, comedy, dark comedy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Irvine Welsh. Irvine Welsh is another author that I really get into. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got into Matt Shaw. So he is more of like an extreme horror kind of thing, but. Those are the authors that I've been getting into.
Now you just named two of my favorites there. Did you read Porno, Jonathan?
I'm new to Matt Shaw, so I've read Sick Bastards and that series, but I'm getting into, like, he's one of my newer guys. Chuck Palahniuk and Irvine Welsh. Pretty much none of their stuff I haven't read, but Matt Shaw is one of my new guys. I've really got into him recently.
Awesome. I'm so you mentioned too that I'm a big fan of, but I understand that there's been rumors abounding for a while that the Porno, which obviously was the sequel to Trainspotting, is going to be made into a movie, which would be interesting at the very least.
It's funny. You're talking about Irvine Welsh's Porno, and Matt Shaw has a Porno book too. So they both have Porno, I think. Yeah. So yeah, you're talking about Irvine Welsh's, but yeah. So I think I've actually read Irvine Welsh's too. It's a great book. It's one of his newer books, I think. So it's it's a good book.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what they make of it and what they can do with it on a movie, because it's pretty out there. Obviously the whole, the very nature of it is going to take some filming around, I guess. But do you know, Xtina?
I was going to ask, and I was speaking of Chuck Palahniuk because he's one of my favorite writers. Do you have a favorite book of his that you've read?
Choke. I think if you're a true Chuck Palahniuk fan, you've got to love Choke.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie?
I did, and they did an all right job at it.
Yeah,
obviously, it didn't get the starlight that they wanted, but it was pretty good. I thought they did an all right job.
Yeah, I agree with you. The book was fabulous, and then the movie was, the movie was okay. But he packs so much into his books that I think it is difficult maybe to capture everything in a movie. I know that
for sure, and that's what he's known for, is being an efficient writer. So I think everybody thinks that.
Yeah, I have there's so many of his books that I just really Invisible Monsters. I thought that was fabulous. it was just so. He's great. I do. I really like. I don't think I've read a book of his that I didn't like. Even if I didn't. What was it? Damned, I think. I can say that probably wasn't one of my favorites, but it's. It was good. I mean, he still is good no matter what he writes. He's good.
I think Dan's about the little girl that dies and goes to hell, right? So it's more of a light, funny kind of horror. Yeah. Yeah, pretty funny.
And then every time that we bring him, I always wonder about Fight Club. Because I have to say that was – I enjoyed the movie better than I like books. That's something I can say that for anything else, but – I really liked him, and it's not because of Brad Pitt, so whatever. But I think they did a really good job with that movie. I think that part in the movie where, you know, we've just lost cabin pressure, that was just such an oh my gosh moment that I don't remember having that moment when I was reading the book, you know?
Yeah, for sure, and I think the rest of America agrees with you because that's why it's, you know, a huge selling book, huge selling movie.
Yeah, when people ask me what's my favorite movie, that is the movie I say. That's my go to answer all the time. So.
Oh really? Oh, that's cool.
It is, and it's weird. It's an obsession with me, but whenever if I see it on TV, no matter what part it's in, no matter how many minutes have passed, I have to watch it. That's a weird little obsession. I don't know. So, do you have a reading for us?
I do have a reading. Are you ready for my reading?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
very much so.
It's not going to be in a cool accent, though, like the last guest you had on there. Yeah, you just have my droll white man's voice.
You go for it. Of your accent.
All right, here we go. The distance between the first home and the second was no more than 10 feet, but it was enough to dampen the sounds from the gunshots so that the adjacent occupants remained asleep. The boys knew they wouldn't be so lucky moving forward. The rain still provided a massive amount of cover, but even that wouldn't be enough in the upcoming shanties that sat one on top of another with paper-thin walls and metal roofs. Firing their guns in one apartment meant they were firing their weapons just feet from occupants next door. Paxton arrived to the next door first, standing several feet back with his gun raised at the door. Damien attempted the doorknob again, and this time it rotated freely. He swung it open and stepped aside as Paxton proceeded into the space. Just a foot in, Paxton was already popping off shots. As he followed in tow, Damien could see why. The floor of the apartment was littered with sleeping mats and sleeping bags that were being used by unwary sleepers. They were all male, and most were dressed in nothing more than their skivvies. The heat was unbearable in the space, and Damien immediately wondered how any of the men were even sleeping. The space was small, but it was made even tinier by all the occupants littering the ground. There were no back rooms, which made the job easy. Paxton cleared the right side of the room, exploding the chest or head of a half a dozen patrons. Damien took out three additional targets on the left side of the space behind the door. Clear, clear. Both boys could hear the confidence in the other's voice tone. They were both amped and ready to pursue additional targets. Paxton exited first and cleared the street in both directions. Damien tried the next doorknob to find it locked. He swung the sledgehammer from his back and took position to bash in the door. Paxton stood by with gun on point, eagerly anticipating his next kills. Damien brought back the sledgehammer, but before he could take it to impact, the front door of the shack swung open, and a pudgy, bearded man presented himself in the opening to his home. The man stood in the doorway, unable to make out what he was seeing. The darkness barely afforded him the ability to make out the two unusual human forms in front of him, but he still knew there was something there. He brought a hand up to rub the sleep from his eyes in an attempt to clear his vision. As his hand dropped back to his side, Damien put all his weight behind the swing of his sledgehammer, which made contact with the man's forehead directly above his eyes. The man's entire body went crashing to the ground, but not before his head imploded inward. Damien thought that smashing a loaf of bread with a sledgehammer must feel very similar. The outside shell felt slightly firm as it penetrated, but barely, just barely. It was excessively easy to bash in the man's brain, and Damien enjoyed the act. There would be additional deaths by sledgehammer that night. He guaranteed it.
Wow.
That's intense.
Yeah, you said it would give us a flavor. That's pretty intense stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I can see some of that. Wow. Yeah. I think this is my favorite part of the show is when our guests read to us. So we definitely need to have just a full hour of reading. That'd be really nice. I could just sit back and listen. And it's okay if you don't have a really cool accent, because I don't have a really cool accent either. So, you know, we have, us with the non-cool accents have to stick together, okay?
Yeah, well, and I also have a lot of tattoos, but I don't think I have any on my todger, I think is what he called it, either.
I don't even know what he said.
I think he said Todger, right?
I don't know. I don't even know what that is. But I just figured it was, you know, his doohickey. So.
There, that's what I was thinking too. So let's hope we're both on the same page there.
So what tattoos do you have?
Oh, I've got lots. I've got Most of them are tribal on both shoulders, and then I've got, Mayan ruins that I've got coming down my arm, and then on the other side, I have a nuclear engineering degree, so my background is engineering, so I have gears and all kinds of engineering stuff on one whole sleeve. And then I have my beetles on my arm, so I'm all over the place. I got a little bit of everything.
Nice. So, as I was asked earlier, which one was your most painful one?
Oh, the clavicle for sure. I think somebody already said that tonight. I don't remember who it was, but the clavicle for sure.
Yeah,
is the most painful.
The one I had on my chest was a part of it covered over my clavicle, and that almost put me through the ceiling. Yeah.
Tattoos are definitely addictive. I have to stop myself from going. I really do. But anytime I have any extra money, that's what I do. I want to get Dark Poet Princess somewhere.
Dark Poet Princess. Yeah, so do I, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the exact same thing.
We should do matching tattoos. Yes, please.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. On the lower back, like right on the little tramp stamp area. That's what I'm going to do, where I'm going to do mine.
I never thought of a tramp stamp before, but, you know, now I may do it just for that reason.
We could do it together, actually, Xtina.
Yeah. I like that idea. Anything for ink, really. I don't know if we're listening to the whole show, but I got a tattoo today on my face, kind of below my eye area on the outside, like a heart. It's just a little heart, and I think it's pretty adorable. So, and it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. It's just in the last couple of days, I was like, you know what, I want to do that, and so I did it, and
I look forward to seeing the posts on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, I don't know about that, but see, James mentioned it on the show, and my mom doesn't even know I did it yet. So, but he, you know, had it. Yeah. So anyway, she might know now. I love you, Mom. So tell us, Jonathan, where we can find you on, social media, and where we can find your books.
Sure. You can find me on all probably the normal stuff. Amazon is the best way to find my books. You can also find my personal website, which is jonathanholse.com. I'm on Facebook as author Jonathan Holse and Instagram at Jonathan_Holse. So usual stuff. Jonathan Holse is not a common name, so just type it in. It'll pop up.
Right. I do think we have most of your links posted on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to look them up, the link should be there as well.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
great. Are we...
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.